7th chapter, 1 Samuel. Last week in our Sunday school class, we taught on the subject of David's compromise. We want to kind of extend that a little bit this morning. I feel like the Lord would have me do that. We're going to kind of go back and just give a little bit of review, and then we're going to talk about compromise. And I believe it's one of those things that will help us if we understand when we start to compromise just a little bit, it usually never stops there. It continues, and it continues to build. That's kind of the way it was in David's life, and it's been, and if we get time to do so, there'll be other people in the Bible that we'll be able to see how that just kind of builds. When you compromise in one place, then where are you going to stop? We had talked about David last week and how he had chapter 27 verse 1, we read that and said, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hands. Now, we spent certainly some time on that. David was being chased by Saul, King Saul, all over the place, just chasing him, trying to catch him, trying to kill him, trying to get rid of him. And so he was running from King Saul. He came to a point where he, I guess, became very weary of running. And so he decided that the best thing for him to do was go over into the land of the Philistines, over into the enemy's camp, and spend some time, and surely if he would go over there, Saul would not chase him over there, which was true. He did not. And so he went there and spent about a year and 4 months over in the land of Philistines. So what we did last week, we talked about how that a wrong conclusion can bring us to wrong decisions in our life. And David came to a conclusion here in verse number 1, came to a conclusion that Saul was going to kill him. There was no hope for him, and then we know that was a false conclusion because David had already been anointed the king. He was promised of God that he was going to be the king of Israel. And so, but he came to a conclusion, there is just no hope. Saul is going to kill me if I don't do something. And so he went over into the enemy's camp. What he didn't realize, the fall of Saul was very, very close, very soon to be. Saul was going to die. King David was going to take over as the king of Israel very soon. Now, there had been a lot of time, of course, went by since David had been anointed king until this time, and I think he just grew weary, and he just thought, well, it's not going to take place, and I'm going to die. Saul is going to kill me. Those kind of conclusions are founded upon flesh and not upon the Spirit of God. God had already promised him that he was going to be the king. Now you say, well, what's that have to do with us, Brother Ross? Well, it has a lot to do with us. Because a lot of times we make decisions based upon fleshly ideas and fleshly thoughts and fleshly conclusions that we've come up with that are basically contrary to the Word of God. And I guess what I want to do this morning is try to help us to realize that compromise is a very serious thing, and when we begin that road, it's awful hard to turn it back around. And so we just want to spend a little time here. You see, first of all, David's conclusion that Saul was going to kill him, there was no evidence whatsoever that God was not going to take care of him. No evidence whatsoever. In fact, he had been promised, as we've already said, you will be king. God had Samuel anoint him king of Israel. So there was no evidence in David's life whatsoever that Saul absolutely was going to kill him. He knew Saul was trying to kill him, but there was no evidence that God was going to turn his back on him and let that happen. So he came to a wrong conclusion. Now, what caused his wrong conclusion? As we've already said, he basically made his conclusion because of a fleshly idea, not a spiritual idea. And again, let me caution you and I on that, because we can come up to all kinds of conclusions because we feel this is what's going to happen, and there's no evidence in the Word of God whatsoever about that. Okay? So we're just kind of reviewing here, trying to bring us to see why David came to these place of decision. We also talked about to our people last week about the neglect of God, His Word, prayer will bring you to wrong conclusions. If you don't stay close to God, you get your communion with God by reading His Word and by you praying to Him. It's Him speaking to you and then you speaking to God. If you do away with that relationship, you're going to come up with some conclusions that are not right because you're not going to be familiar with the Word of God. God's not going to be able to talking to you through His Word. You're not going to be able to not be speaking to Him through prayer. And you're going to come up with some conclusions that are wrong, just like David came up with some conclusions. As we shared with our people last week, it is the will of God that you know His will for your life. That is the will of God. He wants you to know that. Don't ever think for one moment that God leaves you out here dangling and hanging around and just hoping maybe you'll do the right thing. He always has a will for us if we'll seek His will through prayer and through the reading of God's Word. He will reveal His will, His perfect will, not our will. One of the things on that is, and we'll go on, you must be willing to come to the Lord and say, God, I want Your will. And I'm willing to listen to Your will. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to listen to You and let You direct me in my life. Now, that's important. When you come to that place in your life, then you can be assured that God is going to give you direction for your life. Amen. He doesn't want you making any mistakes. He doesn't want you going down a wrong path. That's not the will of God for you, and our God is not that away. Our God is a wonderful, loving God that wants the will of God for each and every one of His children. Amen? You agree with that, won't you? Sure. He's that kind of God, and he wants that for you. So we find also then that these unscriptural solutions, as like David came to, will bring about compromise. And that's exactly what happened here. You see, I explained to our people last week, there's pressure in life. There's not a one of us that doesn't have pressure in life. God keeps pressure on us. And he was under pressure, no doubt whatsoever. He was under pressure. There was the enemy chasing him, and there was things he had to deal with. But let me say this to you, whether you understand it or not, adversity and pressures of life are kept on us by God Almighty to keep us on the right trail, right road. Every single person. But you know what? That's the one thing we don't want. We want to get away from those pressures of life, and we'll do anything sometimes to get away from them. In fact, one of the first things we do when something difficult comes into our life and it's hard, we want God to remove it. God, remove this. That's our answer. And sometimes God does remove things for us, but many times He does not remove them. He gives us the grace of God to go through them. And through those things, He gives you grace and builds your faith. See, that's his purpose. So don't be always saying, crying out to God, God, get rid of this thing out of my life. Face it and let God be the strength of your life. Face it head on and go on with it, you see, because most of the time that's what's going to happen. Not always is God going to lift it. Many times God's just going to give you the grace to see you through it. Amen? And that's what he wants us to do. So what happens is this, compromise. Compromise leads to a temporary relief. For a year and 4 months, David went over to the Philistines, and for a year and 4 months, he felt a certain amount of pressure lifted. Saul was not chasing him anymore. And he felt good about it. And sometimes when you and I will run from our problems, we'll have a certain amount of relief for a little while. Oh, it feels good. That's gone. But it's going to come right back and smack us in the face. God will not let us get by with running from our problems. He's going to bring that problem right back up again in our life and let us face it once again. And if you run with it, run from it again, He's going to do the same thing. It may be different people, different circumstances, but He's going to make us face that because we've ran from it, we haven't learned from it, and he's going to see to it that we face it. Like I said, it may not be the same people, may not be the same situation, but he is going to see to it that you face that problem. Understand? David had a temporary relief. I told our people, I hate to say this to you, but whether you understand it or not, I am a pressure in your life that God has put into your life. I'm the pastor and the preacher. I preach to you the wonderful Word of God, and the Word of God is a perfect Word. That is what I must preach. And so many times, you'll do your best to get away from me when you ought to face your problem. It isn't me, folks. It's the Bible getting after you. But you want to run from that. You don't want to deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't say everybody's that way. I say many people are that way. They want to run from that problem. They want to run from the pressure in their life. When I get up here and I say, you need to be faithful to the house of God every time the doors are open. He said, well, there he goes again, man. But that's God saying that to you, whether you understand it or not, through his word, because God expects you to be faithful. If I talk to you about tithing, you see, that's the word of God. And that puts pressure on you. And many times people don't like that pressure, so they want to run from it. Folks, it's the Word of God putting pressure on your life. So the pressures of life are not a bad thing. When we run from them, that's when it's bad. We need to face them head on. So David found some temporary relief. But it won't be for long. It's not going to be for long. Not only that, compromise leads us to the enemy camp. Now, I didn't take scripture and read all this, but what he done was he went to the Philistines. Do you remember who it was that David, as a boy soldier, a young boy soldier, you remember who he killed? Who was it? Goliath. And who was Goliath? A Philistine. Now, can you imagine this? Here he killed Goliath, and now all at once he's running over to the camp of the Philistines, his enemy. You remember how Peter, when he was going to serve the Lord, and boy, he was going to know one. Everybody else might leave him, but not him. Do you find him where? Warming his hands at the enemy's camp fire. Remember? You see, compromise will drive you to the enemy's camp. So again, see, he made a wrong decision. It was a temporary relief, but it drove him to the enemy's camp where he ought not to be. And that's what will happen. See, what will happen is if we get away from the Scripture, the Word of God, we'll compromise, it'll drive us into the world. Sure it will. Absolutely will. See, that's what compromise does, you see. So when we come up with these fleshly solutions for our spiritual problems, all it's going to do is create trouble for our life. I want you to remember something. Remember a truth in the Bible. You cannot serve two masters. It is an impossibility. You are either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve the world. You can say anything you want. I can serve them both. No, the Bible says you cannot serve two masters. One is going to be your master. Amen? So don't compromise concerning that, you see. Not only that, when we separate from the world, folks, that's not isolation from the world. That's separation from the world. We are supposed to separate ourselves from the world. We are supposed to try to win the world to Christ. Absolutely. But we're not to go down to their level to do it. We're supposed to love the unbelievers, you see. We're supposed to do that. That is right to do that. Do everything we can to reach these unsaved for Christ, but we're never to drop to their level to get the job done. You never, never do that, you see. So anyway, we find then how God graciously delivered David. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but what happened was this. He was the king of the Philistines, Achish, said to David, or David approached him and said, we're going to go with you in this fight. We're going to go with you. We're going to go down and fight against Israel. Now, this is a long story, and I don't want to spend a lot of time, but they was going to battle against Israel. And so David was going to go with the king of Achish, the Philistines, to fight against his own people. And David said he was going to go. But by the wonderful grace of God, God intervened. And he rose up. He rose up the princes of the Philistines against him. And they said, no, we're not going to go fight if David goes. He's going to turn on us. And so we're not going to do it. And so God graciously delivered David, because he would have had to fought against the Israelites. And in that battle that we're talking about, in that battle, Saul was killed. Jonathan, his wonderful friend Jonathan, the son of Saul, was killed. The other two sons of Saul was killed in that battle. And David would have had to live with that for the rest of his life. But God graciously took care of him and delivered him from that. So what we want to do is just spend a little time this morning on the subject of compromise. Compromise is something you've got to be very careful with, because, folks, it does not usually come quickly. It does not usually come to a place where it seems like, well, sure, that would be compromise. A lot of times it creeps in, and it comes a little at a time. And when it gets started, it's a very difficult thing to stop. Amen? I've known churches that has said they're tired fighting the battle. I'm not going to go into the battles. I've heard this more than once. Been involved with it. Been involved with the people that's doing it. I'm tired of fighting this battle. All you do is fight and fight and fight this battle. And I'm just going to just let up a little bit. But let me guarantee you something. It's never let up a little bit. Because it's always, always, always goes further and further and further. When you start letting up, I'm going to guarantee you what, there's no stopping place. See, you got to make decisions in your life where you're going to stand and stand there. Just stand there, no matter what happens, just stand there. Because when you make some decisions to let up in your Christian life, I'll guarantee you, you're going to go further than you want to go. Amen. What I want to do, first of all, is I want to go back to the book of Genesis, the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. And I want to start reading at verse number 5. You're familiar with the story of Lot, but I want to just take a little bit of time to read this scripture in verse number 5, and says, "And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, and they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, and if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even in the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." I want to go ahead and read verse number 12 and 13. It says, Abram dwelt in the land of Cana, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. What happened here, we find that Lot, of course, had lived with his uncle Abraham, and they had went down into Egypt. Abraham had made a mistake and went down into Egypt, and he came back up out of Egypt, and You find that Abraham got right with God. He built an altar and he got right with God. But you never find Lot doing that. You don't find Lot building an altar. You don't find Lot making the right kind of choices that he ought to make. Instead, when it came to the place where there was strife between Lot and Abraham, there had to be a choice made. And instead of Lot saying, you know what, I don't need all these herds and cattle and I don't need all this strife. I need to be under your leadership, Abraham, because that's where he ought to have been. But instead, Abraham gave him a choice, said, you choose whichever direction you want to go, I'll go the other. And Lot looked up and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he said, that's what I want. He made a choice. He compromised. Now, the reason I say he compromised is because if you read, as we read there in the scripture, it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. He chose to go in the direction of Sodom. He made a decision, made a choice way back there. Now, that may not have seemed so important to him at that time. May have seemed, well, that's good land and it's good for my family and we're going to go and we're going to live there and it'll be a good place for us to raise our children, be a good place for us to build our herds and have this and have that. But what he didn't take into consideration was that the wickedness of Sodom. And so he chose. Well, after that, it wasn't very long after he chose to go that direction. The Bible says he pitched his tent. In other words, he made another step. Not only did he choose the wrong land, but he pitched his tent in that direction of Sodom. He made a decision, a conscious decision, and you find what he's doing, he is absolutely compromising in each one of these choices. If you go over to the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, you will find that he made another decision, because then he, after a period of time, became a judge, or he sat in the gate of Sodom. He became part of the leadership of Sodom. You see, first of all, he just chose to go there. Secondly, he pitched his tents toward it. And thirdly, he made a decision. He became part of the society in Sodom. It was all because he made that first compromise. Now, what I'm trying to get over to all of us is simply this. There's a place where we began a road of compromise. And it's hard and difficult to reverse it. It does not mean it cannot be. Abraham reversed it. He went down to Egypt, came back out of Egypt, got right with God. He reversed his compromise. But a lot of people never reverse it. You certainly can reverse it, but a lot of people never do. So what happened is, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story of Lot. And what he done, he sold out for the world, basically, is what he did. And in doing so, he lost his wife. He lost his son-in-laws and the daughters they were married to in Sodom. Don't know whether they had any grandkids or not. I just don't know. But if he did, he lost them. And basically, he even lost his other two daughters. He ended up committing incest because he was drunk. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. Compromise may sound all right and may look like it doesn't matter. So what does it hurt? I'll tell you what it hurts. Down the road, there's going to be some consequences for compromise. What I'm simply doing today to you is simply this, trying to warn us that compromise is not the answer. Every single one of us must make a stand. We must make a decision of what we're going to do in life, where we're going to stand in life, and we've got to stay there. And you know what? I can't make those decisions for you, and you can't make them for me. You will make them, though, and I will make them. Amen? So compromise is a very serious, serious thing. There's a great danger in it. I want you to now turn over to the book of Judges, please. Judges, the 16th chapter. And I want to read a few verses just to kind of get us where we're at. I won't read all the whole story because, again, I think most of you would be familiar here with the story of Samson and Delilah. The Bible says in verse number 1, Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come thither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose up at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and two posts, and went away and with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Succor, whose name was Delilah. And I'm not going to read the whole story, because again, I think you're familiar with Samson and Delilah. It would take a little time to read the story, but you're familiar with that. We find that Samson was a man in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that's listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith, we call it. He was one of these listed. He was a man that was used of God Almighty. He was the strongest man. God gave him great strength. And yet we find out that he compromised his separated position. He was a man who was a Nazarite. And he should never have told Delilah what the secret of his strength was, but he did. He first visited a harlot. He then found Delilah, who was not a Jew, and began to love her. What I'm saying is he chose a direction that was absolutely contrary to what God had for his life. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. Some of the young adults are in here, and you have children coming up that one of these days will decide to choose someone whom they're going to marry. You do everything you can to instill into them the importance of not marrying a Philistine. Now, I'm using that in the respect of a world. Please do everything you can to not allow them to do that. You make sure that they marry someone who is God's child and the perfect will of God for their life. Do everything. I've put a lot of pressure here in the last few weeks upon our parents of this church, and well, I should, because God put us here as leadership for our children. And we are responsible to do everything we can to lead our children in the right and proper way. Samson made a choice. He compromised his separated position, and because of that, he lost a lot. He lost his strength. He lost his eyes. He's lost his fellowship with God Almighty. Some of that he gained back at the very last of his life. Did kill more Philistines in the last act of his life than he did all before. But what I'm saying is, look at all he lost. And I'm again saying to you, compromise is something that just starts. He started here, he started there. And I think we did that one for a while on Samson in our Sunday school class. Been way back there. But old Samson made some terrible choices, some terrible compromises. And what I'm trying to do is do my best to see to it that you and I don't make those. We need to be sure that we don't start compromising. And what it'll happen is in the little things. That's where it'll start. And you just mark it down. It'll start in the little things, and you'll say, well, it don't hurt anything. It doesn't make any difference. But pretty soon they become this big. Pretty soon they become this big. Pretty soon they become this big. And it's almost impossibility to get it stopped. Didn't say you couldn't get it stopped. I said it's very hard and difficult to get it stopped. So again, compromises are very, very serious. I'm asking you, please, to make some determinations in your life, to know what the Word of God says, to follow the Word of God, have some convictions in your life, not just preferences in your life. Have some convictions in your life that you're willing to put on the line and be willing to even die for. Amen? See, you need those. You need those in life. If I would ask you today, where do you stand on this and that, would you know where you stood? Would you already made a determination what your family is going to be allowed to do and not allowed to do? What direction you're going to go? See, you need to have those things in your life settled, see, because they'll come upon you fast. And they'll sneak upon you. And so you need to have them already settled in your life. All right, let's go over to 1 Kings, please. Let's go to the 4th chapter of 1 Kings. And let's start reading at verse number 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom exceeded the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. If you notice here, we have a man by the name of Solomon. You're all familiar with him. He had a lot going for him, and he also had a lot of responsibility because of the wisdom that God had given him. Now I want to go back a chapter, and in chapter 3, and show you something. Verse number 1, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until these days. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. We find once again a mistake, a compromise, as we begin here, a compromise that Solomon made. He said he made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter. That is a compromise. And it began there, and it like to have never ended. It just traveled on into his life, as we will show you in just a moment. But he made a decision here to come to an affinity with Pharaoh out of Egypt, which was a big mistake. And then he took Pharaoh's daughter, a big mistake. And that had an effect upon the rest of his life. Look with me over to chapter 11 of 1 Kings. And let's begin to read at verse number 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, and the Sidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart away from after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, I just want to stop there a moment, and I know we're dealing here with the subject of Solomon and who he married and he ought not to have married, but you can carry that thing over into other areas, not just in marriage to someone who they should not have married, but you can carry that over into going against the Word of God in all areas of our life, doing absolutely things that is contrary to the Bible, what God has already said. You see, God had made it already very plain to them that he was not to go into these kind of women. He was not to marry these kind of women. He had made it plain. It was in the Scriptures. He knew this, but he compromised. But that's also true in other areas of our life. Folks, there's many things in our life that God's already made it very plain that we should stay away from. You know, you ought not to be in the wrong entertainments, in the wrong kind of entertainments in your life. And you know what those are. You know whether they're harmful to your Christian life or not. You know that. If you have some spiritual sense, you know what is right and wrong. Now you do. And if we make decisions on that, we decide we're just going to do this or that anyway. We just decide to do that. We're compromising. You see, and that is dangerous, because where are we going to stop that? Where are we going to stop? You see, because it's very difficult to stop once we get started. So again, I just wanted to show you that, and I want to read on down verse number 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Do you see what happened? He just kept going and kept going and kept going, and what happened to his heart? Turned away his heart from God Almighty. You see, and you say, well, that won't happen to me. Oh, friend, you don't understand. You don't understand the strength of Satan in your life or my life or anybody else's life. He has this, he wants you to start compromising, because the more you compromise, the easier it is for him to just continue getting you down the wrong trail. See, when we start doing something, we continue to do it, it becomes easy to do it. Amen? Easy to do it. And then in verse number 4, he says, and it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon went after Ashtaroth, and the goddess of Zidians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build in high places for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. If you notice that, he just continued down that wrong road. He says in verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Now, folks, what is happening is this. This is something you and I need to understand. How you stand for God does make a difference. You see, Solomon decided not to go after God like David his father did. That was a decision. That was a conscious decision he made. You may say, I have a godly mother and daddy. I have a godly grandma and grandpa. Lord, they have just walked with God. They've served God. Well, how about you? Are you going to continue that line? For your children's sake? Are you going to continue that? Because it does make a difference. Because what you're passing it down to your children. I'm passing it down to my children. You count on it. And so what do we do? Well, we need to stand up here where we're supposed to stand. You see, whatever the cost is, we're supposed to stand there. Amen? Because when you let off, you're not only letting off for you, you're letting off for your children and your grandchildren. Count on it. Because it'll just pass right on down. Say, well, my children's doing pretty good. We let them go out in the world some. They're doing pretty good. What's their grandkids going to do? What's your grandkids going to do? What's their kids going to do? You say, well, that's not up to me. Yes, it is. You stand right. And pass that down to your children and then to your grandchildren. Pass that down. Amen? So again, I'm saying to you, we've got more that we could look at, but we don't have the time. But we need to realize compromise is a very serious, serious thing in our life. And we need to be sure that we choose and make some choices in our life that are absolutely correct choices, that we won't compromise, we won't go the wrong way, and we're just going to stand up here where our convictions are, and we're going to stand on them no matter what happens, no matter what anybody says. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Told our three seniors Friday night, oh, there's going to be people who try to change you. There's going to be people who try to lead you in the wrong direction. And they will. There'll be people who try to set standards for you and mock and make fun of the fundamental belief and the fundamental stand of on the Bible. They'll make fun of you. And if they can, they'll drag you down. If they can, they will do it. But what we've got to do is make a choice. Get some convictions in our life. Say, this is the direction we're going. We're not going to compromise. We're just going to do it right. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your goodness and your kindness. And ask you, Lord, to help us. And Lord, to take this simple message and use it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.